talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And unfortunately, we're going to start again a show with Joe Manchin. Let me tell you some of the latest developments in the soft infrastructure plan. What I think is going to happen if something isn't done, and then what can be done. I'm not going to revisit the whole fight between progressives and moderates in the Democratic Party about whether both the hard and the soft infrastructure should be passed at the same time, what should be in each, how much should each be, blah, 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 blah. The fact is that the hard infrastructure was passed last week. Joe Biden is going to have a signing ceremony for it on Monday. So that's in the bag. Does not require a reconciliation committee with the Senate to try to smooth out two separate bills. They're the identical bills. So there will be almost $1.2 trillion over 10 years, almost $120 billion a year. Half of that already allocated and already paid for by prior COVID relief money that was not used. So we're really talking about something like $50 or $60 billion a year for 10 years. And in a multi-trillion dollar budget, are you kidding me? That amount to repair our roads and build roads, repair our bridges, repair and build airports, water systems, rural broadband. Are you kidding me? If we didn't do that, we'd simply be a declining country. You have to do that every once in a while. And the last time there was a major bill to repair roads, a large bill, it passed overwhelmingly bipartisan, Three quarters of the Senate passed it. More than three quarters, over 80 senators passed it. Overwhelming support in the House. So what happened in the last 8-10 years. What happened was Donald Trump getting in and ruining many things in the country, our foreign policy, tilting us towards Vladimir Putin because he's being bribed and blackmailed by Putin, almost breaking up NATO, starting to break up the EU. That's what happened. And then he's making endorsements in primaries, and he can't swing a primary on his own. But what he can do is deliver something like a third of the electorate. And unless you're a very powerful Republican incumbent, you're not going to survive that. The test case will be Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. She just announced her reelection campaign. Trump came out full bore against her. She's the daughter of a very popular former governor of Alaska, Frank Murkowski. And the last time she got bumped off in a Republican primary, she ran as an independent in the general election and won. There aren't a lot of voters in Alaska. They know her. So that'll be a test on how strong Trump is. However, to get back to the topic, now that hard infrastructure has been passed, what about soft infrastructure? That's been whittled down from $3.5 trillion to $1.75, exactly 50%. That's the way sausage is made. You ask for more than you expect to get, and you settle for less than you really want, and that's true on both sides. Now, $1.75 trillion, we've gone over this list before, I'm not going to go over it again, gives an awful lot of things. It gives universal pre-K. It gives significant health care, Medicaid, and Medicare expansion. It adds hearing aids and hearing coverage to Medicare. Something like 9 million people will get relief from premiums. And about 3 million are going to be getting medical care where they didn't have it at all before. Their child tax credit, many, many other things. The things that I don't like to see get out are tuition in two-year colleges, But there are Pell Grants. People do work part-time, and there are ways of getting around that. Pretty good bill. Pretty good bill. The progressives have signed off on it. I will say, and I'm going to say this again, the progressives, I think, overplayed their hand. We should all be Democrats. They held the hard infrastructure hostage until after the losses in Virginia and the legislative losses in New Jersey. And now they say, okay, we pass it. What happens is the blue dogs, there are two blue dogs in the Senate, about eight in the House. That may have encouraged the blue dogs to resist the soft infrastructure. That is what concerns me. If the hard infrastructure had been passed 2 months ago, the two Democratic senators in Virginia have said that they think that Terry McAuliffe would have been reelected. But more importantly, if that had happened, the blue dogs would have been very reluctant at that point to oppose the soft infrastructure because they wouldn't have known how badly that would or wouldn't hurt them. Well, now the blue dogs know exactly, and here's what Joe Manchin is up to, and this is what concerns me. Joe Manchin trots out an objection of the week, a flavor of the week. So his flavor of the week this time in the soft infrastructure, there's a provision to help subsidize electric vehicles. Remember, what's going to happen, GM by 2035 is going to be all electric. Other car companies will go along. Youngsters now who don't learn to drive for another 10 or 15 years, little ones, may never drive a gas-driven vehicle. This is a good development. So in this bill, there's a provision that all electric vehicles will get a tax credit of $7,500. Okay? So far, so good. So you buy, you know, an electric vehicle made by GM or somebody, and you are going to get a tax credit for $7,500, which means, let's say you pay $30,000 for it. On your tax bill, it's a credit, not a deduction. That means that if your tax bill is $12,000, you can get to deduct $7,500 from that, and you only pay $4,500 in taxes. So basically, the government is paying $7,500 of that vehicle price if you file a tax return. Now, there's another provision in there that was put at the behest of Debbie Stabenow, Democratic senator from Michigan, which was a very big union state till the Republicans rammed through right to work. Wisconsin was a very big and still is a union state until Scott Walker ran through right to work and lied about it. Promised the unions he wouldn't do that, so they endorsed him again for re-election in 2014 when we put up a very weak Democratic candidate who ran a terrible campaign, and he stabbed them in the back. To this day, this is a digression, to this day I do not see how two of the biggest union states, and I mean strongest union states in the country, Michigan and Wisconsin, obviously, you know, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York are too, but Michigan and Wisconsin, the auto industry in Michigan and auto parts industries in Wisconsin were kind of the lead poster children for right to work. I do not know how that happened. Well, actually, I think I do know how that happened, and in future we'll talk about it. But anyway, Debbie Stabenow put in a provision that if the electric vehicle you buy is union made by union workers, you not only get the $7,500 tax credit, but you're also going to get another $4,500 tax credit. So basically, you're going to get $12,000 off your tax bill for buying that vehicle. That's a nice subsidy. For a lot of people, that'll wipe out their tax liability, and you can carry it over to the next year. What happened was non-union shops, Honda, Toyota, and Tesla, complained about that and said, that's just going to steer people to buy union. My response is, yes, good. And okay, Honda, Toyota, and Tesla, why don't you invite the UAW in there? We like unions. We are a union state despite Scott Walker and despite right to work. Well, Manchin says, no, he doesn't want that. So he's not going to vote for this thing, the soft infrastructure. The flavor of the week the other week was he opposed a program of incentives and penalties to shift to clean energy because he owns about a $30 million share in a coal company. So we're not going to have a clean electric grid because of him in this thing. And then he said, I'm opposed to the fee on oil and gas companies for emissions of methane. So they changed that to incentives and some penalties. And he said, well, yeah, I'll think about it. You see what's going on? It's death by a thousand cuts. This guy, I do not trust this guy. He is coming out a week at a time. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like that. And Sinema is a sphinx. She sits on the sidelines and doesn't even say anything. She gets her money from pharmaceutical companies. And the blue dogs in the House, remember, Nancy Pelosi can only afford to lose three votes. That's all. And there's eight of them that don't like this bill. And no Republican will back it. I'm very concerned about Joe Manchin. Very concerned about Kyrsten Sinema and the blue dogs in the House. So stand by. What I'm afraid may be happening is death by a thousand cuts, and they will jawbone this thing until the elections of 2022 when they lose the majority. If they do, and I hope they don't, we're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. Do not hang up. I know you're on the line. I'll get to you right after the break.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in